Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Smart Eyewear Highlight, sponsored by Innovative Eyewear, developer and provider of cutting-edge Lucid Bluetooth glasses. Lucid Smart Eyewear is multifunctional, meeting the needs of the optical, hearable, and digital assistant markets. Innovative Eyewear, NASDAQ trading symbol LUCY, Lucy, web address lucyd.co.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Michael Lawson, a fellow at the Hoover Institution, the author of Asia's New Geopolitics, Essays on Reshaping the Indo-Pacific, is taking us into the quandary that is the People's Republic of China in a new essay at Foreign Policy. And what is to be done is always the exciting question. Michael, if I understand, there's not one thing. It's a gathering of eagles. Let me put it that way. The confrontation with Australia, the confrontation with Japan, we've illustrated the confrontation with India and the Himalayas. All of these things are moving the nations what appear to be in one direction. We've already talked about Britain. France is participating in exercises in the Indo-Pacific with the Quad. Do you measure that individually these acts of pushback are having an effect in Beijing, or are they too disconnected for Beijing to pay attention?
That's an interesting question. I think it's too early to tell at this point how Beijing will react in the aggregate. I think the point that I wanted to make, and I think it's an important point, is that there are a lot of voices that are blaming the United States for worsening relations with China. And they're not just Chinese voices. There are voices in the United States and in Europe and in other places that say it's all Donald Trump's fault, or now it's all Joe Biden's fault, that the U.S. is pursuing confrontation with China. If that were the case, then I think if it were simply the U.S. somehow wanting to have a fight with China, then I think you would see nations around the world not only distance themselves from the United States, but actively oppose those dangerous U.S. policies and try, in fact, to engage more with China to keep the peace. The reality is that from Europe throughout Asia, nations are waking up to what they perceive to be threats to their interests from Beijing that are completely separate from what's going on between the United States and China. It has nothing to do with the United States, what's going on in the South China Sea or the East China Sea. The fact that Britain is sending an aircraft carrier to Asia, to the South China Sea, has, in essence, nothing to do with the United States. It's about China, and it's about nations waking up to what the China that they have as opposed to the China that they want. And so I think it's important to counter the voices that are saying it's the U.S. that is being reckless. If that were the case, we wouldn't see all these other nations region attempt to protect their own interests, and that's really what's going on.
Australia, a special case here. Australia has prospered these decades because its natural resources are greatly a benefit to the revival of China, to its manufacturing hub. And yet the words towards Australia, Michael, have reached into a science fiction zone. There's an article, and who knows when it comes out, Global Times, of quotes saying we'll launch a ballistic missile at Australia if it fights back in some fashion. Australia is encouraging its people to understand this is a trading partner that is also a threat, and therefore I believe there's new money being poured into the Australian Navy. Australia is part of the Quad. Is that case helpful to understand how to respond to China's aggression, that pushback, that blunt pushback by Australia?
John, Australia is on the front lines, and it deserves an enormous amount of support from the United States and from other allied countries. It has taken the lead in banning foreign money, but in this case, the aim was China, Chinese money from its political system. It has banned Huawei and ZTE from its 5G networks. It has called repeatedly for independent international investigations into the COVID pandemic that began in Wuhan, China, and it has paid the price with the Chinese launching economic warfare against a raft of Australian exports, beef, wine, lobster, timber, and the like. Wine exports, for example, from Australia to China dropped from over $160 million in 2019 to $1 million in 2020. This is an example of the type of economic pressure, the economic warfare that China will bring against countries that it finds itself in disputes with. In fact, just this week, we saw it warning Bangladesh that if Bangladesh joined any Quad initiatives, the Quad, again, being Australia, Japan, U.S., and India, any Quad initiatives, including vaccine diplomacy or anything, that there would be damage to its relationship. So we see this policy approach from Beijing being deployed against stronger countries as well as weaker countries. And what Beijing doesn't like to see, for example, is the Quad grouping getting more active, and that's something that the Biden administration should be congratulated for and should be encouraged to do more of. And in fact, think then about how the Quad may interact with smaller countries such as Bangladesh and larger out-of-region countries like the UK. To your question earlier, is any of this having an effect on Beijing's calculations? The more that nations around the region unite, not behind the U.S., but unite because of their own individual national interests in protecting themselves, protecting their intellectual property, their trade relations, or even their territory, the more that they unite both rhetorically and actually, the more that should be sending signals to Beijing that it is picking a fight with the wider world, and that is going fundamentally to change its relations with the world.
Leverage. Is there leverage? I note, Michael, the genocide, that's the word the State Department and the Foreign Ministry in London have used about the Beijing treatment of the Uyghurs in Xinjiang. That has brought a large protests and pushback from Beijing, because there may be a debate about the Olympics in 2022. Also, the scolding burns apparently in Beijing. I don't want to do psychology. I want to know whether you believe that pushback, being critical, being careful, banning items coming out of Xinjiang, is that having an effect in Beijing?
It doesn't seem to be yet. The policies certainly in Xinjiang have not changed. The policies that have destroyed freedom in Hong Kong over the past year have not changed. The policies in the South China Sea have not changed. In fact, we have right now a standoff between the Philippines and China in what's called the Whitsun Reef, which is in the South China Sea. It's a strategically located reef where China has brought in initially hundreds of fishing vessels and still has them throughout the area and still has a number of vessels in the reef, essentially to stake its claim, even though it's owned and administered by the Filipinos. So right now, we don't see a change, but that leverage is important. One thing that we could do in terms of leverage is something akin to an economic Article 5 in our treaties with allies such as Australia, which would be to say that if you find yourself facing economic warfare or economic pressure from Beijing, we will step in to fill the gap so you will not have any negative economic consequences. The Biden administration has continued freedom of navigation operations in the South China Sea and the Taiwan Strait. That's very important. It also has sent ships into the general region of the Whitsun Reef. There's only so much that any of the nations can do before coming up to a red line, which could cause outright conflict with China, and that is something that the Filipinos themselves are having to figure out how far they're going to go. The Japanese are trying to figure that out with the Senkakus, but the United States as well. I think what you have to do to begin with is a lot of the things that we're doing, but you have to maintain it, which is stating very clearly what your interests are, what the regional interests are, how you'll be working with partners, and not backing down in the face of Chinese intimidation and Chinese pressure.
Michael Austin, he is the author, most recently, of Asia's New Geopolitics, Essays on Reshaping the Indo-Pacific, writing presciently about where we are now then. We will attend to Taiwan another day. Michael has also written very carefully about the threat to Taiwan represented by the mainland. But for now, writing in Foreign Policy about China and its confrontation with the world. The world. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.